Dennis, thank you very much indeed. Dennis Taylor paying tribute to Clive Everton, the great snooker commentator and great person who's died at the age of 87. Thanks very much for your company today. Have an enjoyable Friday afternoon and a great weekend.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
The 5 Live News with Dina Campbell. Two boys have been sentenced to life with a minimum term of 8.5 years for murdering a teenager with a machete. The pair, who can't be named, were just 12 when they attacked Sean Cesarhigh in a park in Wolverhampton in November last year. They're the UK's youngest knife murderers. Chief Superintendent Kim Maddill from West Midlands Police spoke outside Nottingham Crown Court.
The impact of knife crime is devastating, no matter where you live in the country. This is an issue that affects us all. Much work has been done and we have had successes in some areas. However, this is clearly not enough.
The BBC has learned that the General Medical Council, which regulates doctors in the UK, refused in 2017 to investigate alleged medical malpractice at Harrods. A complaint was made by a woman who underwent an intimate examination while applying for a job at the department store in 2008 when it was owned by Mohammed Al-Fayed, who's been accused of rape and sexual assault. The UK has asked commercial airlines to lay on extra flights out of the Lebanese capital, Beirut, to help British nationals leave the country. Sir Keir Starmer has urged them to go because of the fighting between Hezbollah and Israel. A major review of the way police forces in England and Wales deal with reports of stalking has called for significant changes. The report, written by the Independent Office for Police Conduct, Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and the College of Policing, warned that many victims were not being protected. Here's our special correspondent, Lucy Manning.
The review of how stalking is treated by police was triggered by a super complaint from a coalition of charities. It found there were too many occasions when stalking victims weren't protected. It concluded the law was confusing, that officers lacked understanding of the scale and types of stalking, and said safeguarding failures were leaving some victims at serious risk. The report sets out immediate steps to improve stalking investigations and calls for a change in the law. The head of the College of Policing said improvements were needed and national guidance for police across England and Wales would be strengthened to improve the quality of investigations.
The first adult in England to admit to a charge of riot following the widespread disorder in the summer has been jailed for 4 years and 4 months. 32-year-old Kieran Usher, who's from Sunderland, is said to have encouraged a mob to throw objects at police officers. The judge at Newcastle Crown Court said he'd brought shame on the union flag he was wearing. That's your news. Mike McCarthy has your sport.
And rain has delayed the toss in the fourth one-day international between England and Australia at Lords. England trailed the five-match series 2-1, so need to win today to keep the contest alive. The draw for the Women's Champions League group stage has put Manchester City in with the holders Barcelona. Elsewhere, last season's semi-finalist Chelsea are in the same group as Celtic, who have reached this stage for the first time. Bayern Munich and Juventus are among Arsenal's opponents when the group phase gets underway in 11 days' time. And the world of snooker has been paying tribute to former BBC commentator Clive Everton, who's died at the age of 87. Commentator and friend Dave Hendon called him a giant of broadcasting and journalism.
This weekend on BBC Radio 5 Live.
On Sunday, Manchester United take on Spurs on 5 Live Premier League Sunday.
And the ball does find its way to the back of the net.
And tomorrow, there's updates from around the ground, as well as live commentary of Arsenal versus Leicester at 3 and Wolves versus Liverpool at 5:30.
Kicks it up, left foot, oh, scored!
5 Live Sports.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Hello, listeners. Let me take you back to May 2019.
Hang on.
Oh, I know.
May 2019.
May the 31st, by any chance.
There's a wind of change in the air. No, it's not governmental. It's still 5 years away. It's not even the constantly turning wheel of fashion. No, young people wearing baggy fit trousers are still assumed to be character actors playing the role of a court jester in a school play. No, it's Ellis James and John Robbins, two sort of young, depending on your definition, comedians who are broadcasting their first show on Five Live. And how have the public reacted? It's mixed. Who are these self-regarding twerps? Todgers! I won't listen to this rubbish! Hey, that's the way it goes. Van Gogh only sold one painting during his lifetime, and when the bloke who bought it looked at his other ones, he said, why have you done that? It's just a bunch of sunflowers, it's rubbish. But how have things changed since we did that first broadcast? Well, we're no longer live, which means we don't have access to the text console anymore, which is probably for the best. John has started lifting weights. I started lifting weights, but I go on about it less. Dave's friend Gegsy has finished his community service, but he still takes whiz at christenings. And Dave's other best friend, Crispin, owns a 55-room mansion in Cheshire with its own private helipad, which means Dave doesn't know who he really is. But what will never change is our commitment to you, the listener. Do you like made-up games? It's an emphatic yes, so we still do them. Do you like Shamewells? It's an emphatic yes, so we still do them, time permitting. Do you like the Cymru Connection? Unbelievably, yes.
Yeah.
Did you like D.I. Robbins? No, so after 36 weeks, we listened. Because, listeners, this show is punk rock. We've proven that all you need is three features and the truth.
Is that a reference to Van Morrison?
I think it was Bono who said it. You just need three chords and the truth.
Van Morrison released an album in the past few years called Three Chords and the Truth.
But I'm looking up, Dave. I'm pretty sure that Bono said that years ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's an old blues phrase or something, but I'm not sure if that was the Van Morrison album where he stuck it to the government's COVID website.
Oh, God.
That may have been Latest Record Project, which is another album.
Is that what the album is called?
Yeah. Harlan Howard. Has that got anything to do with Van Morrison? Okay. Songwriter Harlan Howard coined the phrase three chords and the truth to describe the necessary ingredients for country and Western music.
Oh.
But this isn't a country record. I think this is Van saying this, but this isn't a country record. Van's talking about his desire to take simple rhymes and traditional song structures and imbue them with Caledonia soul heaviness. So this is a review of Van's...
I'd say he had limited success in that.
Did he?
I think he definitely got the simple rhymes.
So I'm not sure it was Bono, Al, unless... Oh, well, hold on. You too, Three Chords and the Truth, Amazon.
The first song on Van Morrison's Three Chords and the Truth is March Winds in February.
Oh, yeah.
Which sort of doesn't sound that unbelievable.
The special end of Feb.
The winds are a day early. Must be a foretelling of great change.
In a leap year. Like, well, it sort of is March, isn't it?
Oh, mad old Van.
How are you, John?
I'm good. I'm playing golf, so you'd better get the party started. Shamon, Dave.
Wait, what are you doing?
We're playing golf, so we better get the party started.
We are recording this on a different day to usual. We usually record on a Friday.
Yeah. And John always sings Pink on a Tuesday.
But John always sings Pink on a Tuesday because he's excited. Yeah. But we're recording early because John is going on a golfing weekend. So
John's playing golf and he's going to be really cool.
Did you win? You won last time, didn't you, John?
Dave.
Do you always win?
Dave.
Are you like the Anton Deck of your golf trip?
Dave, don't make me get up my playing record.
I won't.
He's going to.
Well, don't do though, Dave. Are we staring down the barrel of a 90% win rate?
Oh.
Unheard of in any form of match play golf, in any competition across the world and in history.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh.
So do they want you there?
Well, that's a different question. We don't dwell on those questions. I think I've played 21 matches, won 18, lost one, halved two.
God, you're the Man City of golf.
Wow.
Better even than Man City, Dave.
Are you cheating?
Well, cheating by using my mind and my skills.
Okay.
Yeah, or if until they've proven that he's cheating.
If that's cheating, lock me up in prison.
So when you lost, that one game you lost.
That was the second game I ever played. That was 2016.
And how did you handle that loss, John, in 2016?
Well, I was very new to it all.
Doesn't matter. That how did you handle the loss,
okay,
John?
I handled it okay, but I did take myself to one side and say, John, never. if I lose again.
Remember this feeling.
And since then, I mean, it's unspeakably good, that record. Yeah. And you know what?
Is everyone else having fun?
You do some
much more
about.
Fun than me.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. They're having a good time. Whereas I'm like giving myself pep talks while everyone else is at the bar.
Have you got John. Have you got your own room?
For one night.
My God.
It was an extra 400 quid for single occupancy and I couldn't justify that.
My God, that's a whales away pipe dream, the idea of my own room for one night.
But we've got, it's twin beds, so we're not in the same bed, and it's me and Tom Rosenthal.
Oh, right. That's a...
I thought it was you buddies. And a load of doctors.
Yeah.
It is.
And Tom Rosenthal.
And Tom Rosenthal, and one ice cream man, and two regional journalists.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
The
so
ice cream,
deal with that.
The ice cream man, surely that's quite seasonal, that job, is it?
Well, he also makes ice cream and runs a cafe. Oh, I don't think he actually has an ice cream van, but ice cream is his business.
Oh, okay.
Lovely bloke. Doesn't play with a glove.
Wow.
Yeah. That's just one of the many great talking points we're going to have.
Why doesn't he?
Because some people don't.
The feel of the stick.
The feel of the stick. Also, great golfing tip, if it's raining, take your glove off.
Why?
Just play, because what is better in the wet grip wise than nature's glove, the hand?
The hand.
Well, probably the glove. No.
No, Dave. No, no, no. You can get wet weather gloves, which I got two pairs. But actually, I think it would probably be better grip with
when
your hands.
When you move house, you need a spare room for all your golf stuff.
Yeah, I need a lot of stuff when I move house. Mm. But I will. I am going to have one. I'm going to have a spare room for my golf stuff and a gym.
Are you moving?
No. No.
But it's nice to have.
I got nowhere to go and no one to take me. I would like to have a bigger house.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yes.
I love a garage.
I really love your house now, though, John.
Thanks, Dave.
It's really nice.
Do you want to come round?
Yeah. If I was closer, I'd come round a lot, actually.
Hey, that's what a lot of people say. No, it's fine. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's a sort of a minute. It's a sort of zen house.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
Sort of an emotional sort of awareness hub.
Mm. So you've been practicing?
Well, not as much as usual. This has been a very poor year for golf for Johnny JR. So who knows? Maybe I'll lose a couple of matches. Who knows?
It'll keep you hungry if you lose a few.
And also I've built up enough speed and I've built up a good enough record that I can take a couple of losses.
Do you know who the two players are who are having the best start to the Premier League season, John?
Haaland.
Yes.
And Salah?
Yes. Do you know why?
Because they're great.
They're great, but they didn't play much football over the summer.
Yeah, ah! They didn't play in the Euros.
They didn't play in the Euros. So
no.
Maybe if you've had a bit of a quieter
good
summer,
point, Dave.
Maybe you're just ready to be let loose, out of the traps.
In the 30s, the footballers used to train without the ball. The theory being that they'd be hungry for the ball on a Saturday.
Absolutely
they were
mad.
Thick in the 30s. They really were.
But there probably are still some training drills that don't include the ball, but not exclusively no ball. That
no, I mad. Think it's really ball-based no training.
Yeah.
Football training. I think the ball plays a really big part of it.
So, yeah, I'm hot to trot. I'm ready to rip. Mm. And I watched the Solheim Cup as practice, which was great.
Yeah.
This is very exciting. Also, you're going to come back so relaxed, John. You're going to come back a different person.
Yeah.
Well, it's you know, it's a weekend away, but you get to talk.
I get to talk.
Unlike when you did your silent retreat.
Yes, I get to hang out with the lads. And, you know, just sort of quietly slip to bed about 10 o'clock when the third bottle of red wine comes out.
Yeah, and that's a good time to go to bed.
Well, it gives me the edge, Dave.
Yeah, you're not putting green from 5 a.m, aren't you?
Well, if you're not hungover.
If you think last John,
you haven't got
was
the
winning that many.
Imagine, oh yeah, good point.
Sober John. No one's being sober John.
No.
We are chatting this week about shortcuts to success because Dave managed to bag a first by doing about half an hour's work. This is from Jennifer. I save time in the mornings by pouring latte directly onto my cereal. I figure it's just milk, right? Yeah. And anyway, it's going to end up in my belly, isn't it? So it must be okay. What an incredible shortcut to success.
That's exactly what we were looking for.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you know what Jennifer. I did? Do you know what I did the other day? very similar to this. I had just finished a workout, Dave, at the gym, as you know, where I go. And I needed my protein shake, but I also wanted a coffee. So I thought, why don't I just make a protein shake with a coffee?
Yes.
So I put the protein powder into the shaker, poured a coffee in, shook it up. Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
A terrible mistake. Hot protein powder is not good.
It probably curdles, does it not?
I once tried to make a hot chocolate with chocolate protein powder, and I heated it up in the pan, and something mad happened. It sort of, I don't know how to describe it. It sort of mushroomed up and went hard. It doesn't work.
But the latte on the cereal.
I love it.
You would put chocolate on cappuccinos.
Yes, you would.
You combine chocolate with coffee on a regular basis in all sorts of ways.
I think that's madness.
I'm not a huge fan, but in general. Black.
Well, Cocoa Pops and a latte would be like a mocha.
This is it.
Yeah.
They'll steal the idea off us, Dave.
And then someone else would make a million billion pounds.
It's the half and half duvet all over again.
Well done, Jennifer. This is from Mia. I married the boss and I'm now the director of a company. Again, great. It's a good shortcut to success. Well done, Mia. You haven't had to do any of the hard work.
This is from Liz. I adopted a 2-year-old dog, so no annoying puppy phase. Good plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
You do miss out on some cute photos, though.
But you could get them sent to you.
Yeah.
Like the original owner, maybe.
Yeah. Like a different picture a month, so you don't get them all in one go.
Yeah.
This is from Felicity. My mum loves to tell me that when I was a child, I had a postman pat van where you had to post shaped blocks through the correct holes in the roof. You know the sort.
I know the sort.
I soon worked out it was much quicker to open the back doors and just pop them in that way. Shame such rational thinking seems to have diminished with my age. If I saw a kid do that, Felicity, I would think, well, that child is going to be a genius.
Yes.
That's so clever. This is from Alfie. Like Dave, I was also given a dissertation alternative, 2 extended essays of 7,000 words each, which is a strange number considering dissertations were 20,000. Yeah. Although it, in a mad way, might be more work because you have to revise 2 different topics.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a shortcut to success, Alfie. It's a shortcut to a lower word count.
Yeah. Shortcut to typing less.
And just to say, I probably have forgotten about a lot of the written work I had to do. There probably was more to my dissertation than meets the eye. It can't have just been 15 minutes.
It feels like it was, Dave.
It does feel like it, John. I'll give you that.
This is, listen to this from James. English Lit GCSE coursework when I was about 14. Had to write a short story with no guidelines or suggestions. Went to my local newsagents and bought the Sunday Sport. Copied word for word a juicy piece about a marriage breakup from the supplementary magazine. This was foolproof. If the teacher recognised it and accused me of plagiarism, he'd also have to admit to spending his weekends looking at breasts. I got an A, and the evil scheme sustained my average grades right the way through to getting a B at A level.
Wow.
Wowee. There you go. So we'll have more shortcuts to success coming in throughout the show. But it's that very exciting time in the show where we travel the dales and glens and roads. The dales in Wales?
No, we've got hills and mountains and valleys, I would say.
Yeah. Well, we go around all of those searching for people who are Welsh, and we subject them to 60 minutes of grilling.
60 seconds, imagine.
Oh, God.
Imagine 60 minutes. It's still sometimes not good.
I love that.
Maybe that's another podcast.
I'll do it.
He'll do it.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
No, we subject.
You could call it Welsh Rarebit.
Oh.
Because that's grilled. And I would just grill Welsh people about where they're from for 60 minutes.
That's good.
Well, no, we are about
to... Is it grilled? I don't actually know.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, it's just cheese on toast, isn't it?
We're about to subject a Welsh person to 60 seconds of being asked what their name is and where they went to school before Ellis makes sort of sighs and gasps and sort of noises before either successfully or unsuccessfully making a connection with them. So it's time. Oh, we don't have a jingle for this, do we?
Well, we've got the music. There might be a bit of a script there for you, though. Yeah, there's some nice stats and stuff in there.
Okay. All right, well, I've tried to riff it. Let's see if the boffins who script can come up with any
better. Let's see if AI has nailed it this time.
Well, this is the part of the show where Wales's 33rd sexiest man in 2012, Ellis James, tries to find a link with a random person in Wales. Ellis has been on a good run of form recently, but the last time round failed to find a connection to Arwell from Llanelli. Though Arwell was of a similar age, and we went on to learn that there were many connections between the two of them, Ellis was blindsided by the fact that Arwell didn't know Gareth Smith, who's married to Emma. At one point, he even accused Arwell of lying about not knowing Gareth Smith. It was revealed after the time had run out that Ellis missed at least six connections between himself and Arwell, including his old maths teacher and former rugby player Ian Evans.
No, it was Scott Quinnell. Oh, and Ian Evans, yeah. Actually.
That failure means that Ellis's overall success rate stands at 56%. He's achieved a connection with 5 of our 9 callers. So, let's see how Ellis fares this week. We have a caller on the line from Wales. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, I will say no more before Ellis begins his 60 seconds, which is on the clock now.
Where are you from?
I am from Pontiet in the Gwendraith Valley.
Pontiet? How old are you?
I'm 40.
Oh. Okay. Did you go to Maesorfa?
No, I went to Gwendraith.
Oh my God, that's massive. What primary school did you go to?
Gwynfryn.
Okay. Do you know... no, you're not going to know her because she's from a different part of the Gwendraith Valley. Eleanor, do you know Eleanor? She's younger than you, I think.
I mean, there's a lot of Eleanors.
I know! Sorry. I mustn't get angry with you. What's your name?
Debbie,
what ask her a surname? Have you ever worked in... I don't need surnames, okay. Debbie. Have you ever been to Intermentor Iaith in Pontyberem?
Yes,
oh.
I did Mentor
Pontyberem. Oh, hang on. Did you do drama... Do you speak Welsh?
I do.
Did you do drama Inc. did with my little sister?
No.
Oh, and it's time. I felt like you were going to clinch
more.
It.
You asked the wrong question.
You're not Welsh and you don't get it.
You asked about 3 schools. You didn't ask this lady what their job is.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get it from that. Where do you live now, Debbie?
I live in Yeadley in Northampshire. So no,
well,
that is
rubbish. Well, what university do you go to?
UWIC.
But you would have graduated 20 years ago, presumably.
It doesn't feel that long ago, but yes. Similar dissertation to Dave, probably, as well.
Yeah, good.
Are there any connections that we've missed, to your knowledge?
Well, I was intrigued, because I'm sure there's some connections.
Well, Dad is from Croissants.
I was going to say, your dad's from Croissants, isn't he? So I'm sure there's no connections.
Oh, my God, your parents.
You know Nigel Owens?
Yes.
So I used to ref with Nigel Owen.
Oh, you didn't.
Football. I also have a tenuous link in that my a very, very close family friend is the Vanwy Mubs.
And how do you also, know Mubs?
This
is huge.
She's my father's ex-girlfriend, but they were going out for a long, long time. Let's not get into that.
Okay.
But I've also met you in the wild, Ellis.
What? When was that?
Yeah, we had a lovely chat outside CCS after the Finland game, I think it was.
Oh,
Ellis.
Pontiet!
I've had to wonder if this is his sort of his game day.
It is my game. I need it to be longer than a minute. I just need an hour.
100%. I would 100% be a guest on Welsh Reddit. I'd love that.
When he gets it, it's magic. But
when I don't get it, it affects my head for the rest of the show.
Well, I mean, I don't want to dwell on stats, but that does probably just put you under the 50% success rate.
Yeah. Hang on, did you go to Maesa Gwendraith? Is that what it was called? Or is it still Gwendraith back then? I know who you are. I know a lot of your teachers. It's irrelevant now. Irrelevant. Absolutely.
At least you knew where Pontiet was.
Oh, believe you me, I know where Pontiet is.
Just soften the tone a bit.
I'm very accusatory towards Debbie. Debbie, you've done nothing wrong. I'm the failure.
Well,
you're a good person, Debbie.
Thank you very much.
Pontiet, for crying out loud.
Thank you very much for your call, Debbie. And if Spotify or Wondery, or BBC Sounds Snap Up Welsh Rarebit, grilled by Ellis James.
It's great. It's good stuff.
We will get you on. It would be the most popular podcast in Wales, I reckon.
It's true. That is true.
Do you go to a lot of Wales games, Debbie?
Yeah, I'm a campaign ticket holder.
Ah, well then, if I see you, do say hello, and I promise that my tone won't be as sad / aggressive. I'll be very pleased to see you outside the ground.
You were very lovely. You were
Thank
very,
you.
Very lovely.
Debbie, this is a failure. This is crushing.
But you did nothing wrong, Debbie.
You did nothing wrong. It's just Pontiets is significant, and I got it wrong again.
Thank you for your call, Debbie. And we'll maybe have another Cymru connection next week, or will we?
I don't know. I mean, it's a fan fave.
Is it?
It is a fan fave, but is it worth it when you're seeing Ellis crumble?
Is it worth
week
the stress he's under, Dave?
I'm not sure.
Should we do a Dads Are Mad?
Yes, yeah. Please, because the first one is superb.
Yes.
I'm going to finish my muffin while
it's,
you read it.
It's long, but it is worth it.
It is worth it. My dad, when he brought his first non-stick frying pan, kept the instructions and stuck them on the wall next to it.
Actual real wooden clogs.
And set about eating what must have been north of 24 egg canapes.
He then proceeded to empty 40 litres or so onto the timber and strike a match.
Dads are mad.
Dads are mad. Dads are mad.
Hey, guys. Love the show, and especially this feature, which has actually unearthed my very own Mad Dad story, which I'd previously forgotten. When I was younger, my family and I would go to Cornwall on holiday every year. Given this was pre-smartphone and iPad, the four-hour journey was often a bit of a slog, so it became a tradition, instigated by my dad, to purchase a cassette audiobook to listen to as a family in the car.
Oh.
As we grew up, my siblings and I became less enthused with this setup and would much rather have listened to our CD Walkmans, but were banned by Dad, who seemed to consider his kids using any kind of electronic device independently as some sort of moral failing. As a sort of compromise, and to win over the youth vote within the Mitsubishi Shogun, the choice of book was often tied to whatever was the big family blockbuster of that year. You haven't fully experienced and absorbed the masterpiece that is Chicken Run until you've had the novelised version read to you by Imelda Staunton. Anyway, the big film that year was The Lord of the Rings, and so the audio tape of The Fellowship of the Ring was purchased. The choice was a big success, but there was a problem. Dad had massively underestimated the length of the cassette. It was a whopping 22 hours long. By the time we pulled up in Polzeath, the ring was barely out of the Shire. Most people would have just shrugged and moved on. It did a job. It killed time on the journey. But not my dad. It was at this point his main goal for the week shifted from spending some quality time with his kids on holiday, relaxing and unwinding, to making sure we all finished this audiobook together. He was Frodo, the tape was his one true ring, and he set out on an epic quest to overcome it. Whenever we had a spare moment during the rest of the week, the tape was played. Any second spent in the car, even a quick trip to the shop, was prime audio real estate for some Tolkien. The only moments of respite was the time spent on the beach. Dad had actually suggested going to an Argos and purchasing a portable cassette speaker deck to take with us, but Mum finally put her foot down. And you know what? It worked. We were making our way through it at good speed, and Dad was confident of victory. However, the feeling of triumph was not to last. On the journey home, the final straight, the stairs up to Mount Doom, I know that happens in the third book, but go with me, the cassette broke. My dad was in bits. He desperately tried to fix it, rewinding the little reel butts with a pencil and blowing the sand out the plastic casing in a scene that brought back visions of when our pet hamster had died and he'd attempted CPR on it, but to no avail. We pulled into the next available service station. He walked into the services with his shoulders slumped. We sat there feeling a bit worried for him, but also pretty relieved to have a break from the fellowship, which lest we forget, we'd all seen the film only 6 months earlier and knew exactly what was going to happen. Dad returned 10 minutes later, but not with a look of dejection. It had been replaced with pure triumph. He sat back in the car with a W.H. Smith bag and pulled out of it a physical copy of The Fellowship of the Ring. He then unveiled his new plan. Mum would drive and he would read the remainder of the story out loud to the car. There were a few hitches. It's quite hard to read to a car when you're facing forward and travelling on a loud motorway. So Dad was pretty much screaming the final few pages. But it ultimately worked. He finished the story just as we pulled up back to our house. It was the proudest I'd ever seen him. Yes, he'd nearly lost his mind. Yes, he'd come back from his holiday far more stressed than he left. And yes, his kids now had an incurable inversion to Middle Earth, but his quest was complete. Thanks, Rob. Rob, that is a fantastic email.
Yeah, well written as well.
Yeah, that's super. Really, that's the second best of this financial quarter. We've got loads more coming up, but first, here's the Five Live News.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
With the headlines, I'm Laura Harms. Two boys have been given life sentences with a minimum of 8.5 years for murdering a teenager with a machete. The pair, who can't be named, were just 12 when they attacked 19-year-old Sean Cesarhigh in a park in Wolverhampton in November last year. They're the UK's youngest convicted murderers since the James Bulger case in 1993. The BBC has learned that the General Medical Council, which regulates doctors in the UK, refused in 2017 to investigate alleged medical malpractice at Harrods. A complaint was made by a woman who underwent an intimate examination while applying for a job at the department store when it was owned by Mohammed Al-Fayed. The late tycoon has been accused of multiple rapes and sexual assaults. The UK has asked commercial airlines to lay on extra flights out of the Lebanese capital, Beirut, to help British nationals leave the country. The Prime Minister has urged them to go because of the fighting between Hezbollah and Israel. And the MSP, Russell Findlay, has been elected as the new leader of the Scottish Conservatives. Mr Findlay is a former crime reporter who was attacked with acid in 2015 while working on stories about Glasgow gangs for the Scottish Sun. As the Five Live News, Mike McCarthy has your sport.
Well, a little later than planned, England will take on Australia in the fourth one-day international at Lords. Ellie Oldroyd is there for us.
Yes, and we've just had the toss and Australia have won it. Mitch Marsh calling correctly and saying that Australia will bowl first. A couple of changes. Jofra Archer returning for England and Adam Zampa, who had COVID when we were up in Durham, he is back in the side for Australia. So that will strengthen their bowling attack. 43 overs a side and hopefully no more rain forecast, but we'll be underway at 2.
Ellie, thanks very much indeed. When play gets underway, you can hear commentary on Five Sports Extra. Celtic's reward for reaching the Women's Champions League group stage is a draw that places them in with Chelsea and Real Madrid. Manchester City have been placed with the holders Barcelona in Group D, while German champions Bayern Munich are among Arsenal's group stage opponents. AFC Wimbledon say they'll be eternally grateful to fans who contributed to a fundraising drive to repair its flood-damaged pitch. But the League Two club have now asked for donations to pause, saying the six-figure sum raised by supporter Graham Stacey will at least cover our significant insurance excess and contribute to inevitable ongoing costs. In Super League, Wigan Warriors prop Mike Cooper's retired on medical advice. It's after he suffered a concussion in July. The 36-year-old former England's national has been told by neurologists he risks more serious damage if he continued playing. The race to the grand final begins tonight with this week's elimination playoff. Lee going to Salford. They won a remarkable 10 of their final 12 games to reach the playoffs. Coach Adrian Lamb says he's proud of the way his team have bounced back from a difficult start to the season.
Really big learning process for me, to be honest with you. I've learned a lot through the first part of the season there, where you can't do much with what you got. You just have to do your best to stay true to your standards. And, you know, it's probably one of the best experiences that we've been through too. So in that second half of the season, I think since around the 20th of only April, March, April, we've only lost to three teams, incredibly. I was only looking at that today, which is an incredible statistic.
You can hear that game in full on the BBC Sport website this evening, commentary of the second half on Five Live. And there's been a minute's silence ahead of play at Snooker's British Open to remember commentator Clive Everton, who's died aged 87. Known as the voice of snooker, he covered the sport for BBC television for more than 30 years. Former world champion Dennis Taylor worked with him in the commentary box, but explained how they went back much further than that.
When I first met Clive, I can't believe it, it's 58 years ago, I won the British Junior Billiards Championship and Clive presented the prize, the trophy to me. And then we've known each other since then, and lots of wonderful memories with Clive in the commentary box, and learned quite a lot from him as well.
That is Dennis Taylor, and that is the latest from BBC Sport.
I'm Kim Cattrall, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, a new audio drama telling the history of the CIA from the inside out.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
He's got to convince Congress to give him an open checkbook now.
America has suffered its worst domestic attack of the 20th century at Pearl Harbor.
How do we make contact with the NKGB?
Central Intelligence, starring me, Kim Cattrall, Ed Harris, and Johnny Flynn.
There's $50,000 in it for you if you say yes.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
This is the Ellis James and John Robbins Show on BBC Radio 5 Live. Right, well, let's see if we can get Ellis's head out of his hands and into the game, the made-up game.
Well, we also have a new jingle.
Woo!
New jingle alert from Shedrick.
Oh, what a name.
What
Are you sure
name?
It's Shedrick, not Cedric?
S-H-E-D-R-I-C.
Wowee!
Shedrick.
Lovely. Very medieval name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonder what you shorten. Are you Shed?
Sheds.
Sheds. Shed 7.
There's a guy at my golf club called Sheds. Do you know why?
He's got two sheds.
He's got two sheds.
We got our mate called Danny Two Sheds.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about Sheds. It's new jingles from Shedrick. Following on from my WhatsApp jingle success, I give you Made Up Games, Chicago Blues style. Here we go.
Made Up Games.
Oh, yeah.
How many miles to a certain location? The cost of a latte in a given service station. Made up games, the fun is jam packed. If John had the power, you know the day would be set. Game's so hot now, y'all at the dowsers. If John doesn't win, he'll take off his trousers. We need to hide the cost, y'all have the measure. The time is ticking, Ellis cracks under pressure. Made up games.
Sounds like the Yardbirds.
Oh, so that sounded like so much.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of Talking Heads in there.
If you'd given that to, like, John Mayall in the 60s, you'd be like, yeah, you're in the band.
Yeah.
A
bit Gene Genie-esque at times.
I really enjoyed that.
Who else did that remind me of? Reminded me of sort of Tom Waits in places.
I really enjoyed
really
that.
Really good. Bit of Creedence, maybe.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Very talented listeners.
Talented listeners.
Haven't we?
More talented than me, Dave.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right, what's the made-up game?
Oh.
I know it involves countries.
It's an international contributor, for starters, which is always exciting.
That's exciting. This
week's game comes in from Jen in Ohio.
Whoa! Is it a swing state?
America.
Is it a swing state?
I don't know, John.
I don't know if it is.
America.
Elections.
America.
Ohio.
The rest is Politics American Edition, which I don't like as much.
I don't like as much. But no. I'll still listen.
I'll still listen to it, though. to the Mooch and Catty K.
There's a great Gillian Welch song called Look at Miss Ohio.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourite songs.
Farewell Transmission?
Ohio.
Songs Ohio, yeah.
Yep.
I think the National are from Ohio.
I imagine Ohio, I've never been to Ohio, being very flat and blustery. Am I right in thinking that?
Well, Chicago is the windy city, of course.
Yeah.
It's God. Songs Ohio, not Songs
that's
Ohio.
It. Yes. I thought,
If you want a gateway track for the National.
But Jason Molina, the lead singer of Songs Ohio, was from Ohio.
Okay.
If you want a gateway track for the National, just whilst we're talking about the National... Blood Buzz Ohio is the track you want to go for. If you want to go, I hear Dave bagging on a lot about the National.
And it's
Blood Buzz Ohio.
It's Jen from Ohio, is it?
It's Jen from Ohio. Yeah, back to the game.
What is Jen getting out of this? I'd love to know. Unless Jen is originally from the UK.
Well,
which
Jen has
understand it more.
Jen sent in a very good made-up game.
Ohio is a tree.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. It's got red flowers.
Oh, lovely.
Right, Dave.
Hello, lovely gents. From one of your listeners across the pond, here is a transatlantic geography game designed to educate, inform, and entertain.
Love it.
The pillars of the Beeb. This game is inspired by a very nerdy conversation among my pub trivia team about population density and by how much I enjoy the way Alice says America. Do you want to give her a little...
America.
Good stuff.
Capital of Ohio is Columbus, of course.
Columbus, Ohio. Mm.
The game is called States of the Nations. In each round, you'll be given a US state. Ellis and John must then...
I'm going to be incredibly bad at this.
Ellis and John must then choose the European country they think is the closest in population to that state. For example, if the state was Alabama, population 5,108,468, the best answer could be... Do you want to have a go?
Moldova.
John?
Switzerland.
Ireland.
I was
population
say Scotland, actually.
5,056,935.
I forgot about it.
So basically, you're trying to pick the European country.
Is it the closest one wins?
It's the closest, okay. Yes.
So Alabama has a population of 5 million, does it?
It does, but let's not dwell on Alabama. That's just the example. Whoever is closest in terms of population gets the point. There is a bonus point if you are in the bullseye zone within 15% of the total population of the state. Are you comfortable doing the maths on that, Michael? Yeah. Great, it's on the dock. Of course it is. You can choose any one of the 51 countries and 5 territories and dependencies in Europe, broadly defined. Plus, I've added Wales for Ellis.
Thank you.
Which is fine. Ellis and John are both in play for each round, but will alternate who guesses first.
Oh, I wish I'd read more about America in the last day.
Yeah, second guesser must not guess the same country as the first, obviously. P.S. I would like to apologise on behalf of America for the rude woman who admonished Ellis's son at the airport.
Yeah.
We don't like her in America either. And Ellis's son was right about the guns. Good
okay,
stuff.
Okay, thank you, Jen.
The overall scores on the doors. Ellis leads by 3-2 with John 30-15 up in the 6th game. Because Ellis did actually win last week. Great! Are we ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want pads so you're right, just scribbling on your pieces of paper?
I'm not just scribbling.
Yeah, I'll scribble it. Round one, Georgia. So scribble down a country. Tricky game, this, I think.
Yeah, very difficult.
Tricky game.
You need to know the population of American states. Yeah.
Which I don't.
Yeah, nor do I.
I'm far better on the population of European countries than I am US states.
Yeah,
I... In fact, I know the population of one US state.
Okay,
but good stuff. I don't think that's going to be very helpful.
John, we shall come to you first for round one, please.
Austria.
Ellis.
Denmark.
Interesting. I'll tell you what, neither of you are that far off. Okay? So that's good. Austria nicks it. With 8,958,000, Georgia has 11 million.
I guess 10 million, Dave.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, so that's good. So you've got you're close with the population. You then drop down a bit with your European guess.
I guessed it was 10. Then I thought that would be a bit much.
11,029,227.
Okay.
Austria 8.9 mil. 5.9 million for Denmark.
Yeah.
So John gets the point.
Okay.
1 point, but not in the bullseye zone, is it? No. Great. All right, well, round two. It's a tricky game, but it's a good game. Thank you, Jen. Wyoming. Wyoming. Who knows? Some people might. And Alice, we will come to you first.
Can I have Wales?
Yes, yeah, sure. John?
I've gone Denmark.
He's back at Denmark again. Well, I found it was Ellis that said Denmark, wasn't it? Wales is closest.
Well done.
Wyoming, a population of just 584,000.
I was going to go Northern Ireland.
Were you?
I thought that felt too small.
But
it's not very densely populated, Wyoming.
5.9 mil. For Denmark.
Okay.
Wales, what do you reckon the population is for Wales?
3.1 million people.
Yeah, 3.164 million people. One all! Going into round three, which is, of course, Minnesota. Minnesota!
Sorry, guys.
What's great is, in an already voice. Challenging game, you've gone for some of the more obscure US states.
Yeah.
Okay.
John.
Have you made your choice, Ellis?
Yeah.
I've gone Finland.
John's gone Finland.
Northern Ireland.
John, Ellis has gone Northern Ireland.
Which is about 1.5 million people, I think.
John gets the point.
Oh, what's Minnesota?
Minnesota is 5.737.
Is it really?
5,737,000. Finland is 5,545,000.
So is John in the bullseye zone?
Just a bit, mate. You couldn't be slap. You are the. It's the closest country.
Slap bang in the middle of the bullseye zone.
I am the best person on earth, Dave.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. At
you
this
can't,
stage,
based no. on the stats. This is all we've got to go on.
That's incredible, John.
Thanks, Dave.
That's literally the closest country you could have got to Minnesota.
Mm.
What? Talk me through your working.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
out of curiosity.
So Minnesota. First, you say Minnesota. My first thought is, I thought that might have been a city. Actually, it's a state. Great. Yeah. It's not going to be one of the big ones, but we've just had a very small one.
Oh,
so they probably
yeah.
wouldn't put two smallies in a row. I want to say Denmark again, but I'm embarrassed to say it twice in a row.
So you thought you'd come up with a country that's a bit like Denmark.
Well, I thought Sweden. I thought, no, you got
bit
a few
big.
Swedes knocking around.
Bit
Shall
big.
We go Norway? Nah.
Bit
let's
big.
Go Finland.
Okay.
Norway would have given you bullseye zone action.
Would it?
Denmark would have given you bullseye zone action.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah.
I mean, there's bullseyes flying all over the place there.
Yeah.
It's 2-1 to John, I believe. 3-1 to John. I'm losing track. Is that good? Is that exciting? Round four, your friend of
How
mine.
How can it be three? Oh, because I got the bullseye. Great.
Because you got the bullseye, of course. California.
Holy smoke-a-doobie.
I'd love to live in California.
Do you know if California was if it was a country, it would have the sixth highest GDP
yeah,
in the world?
Amazing.
Really? Ellis, you first.
England.
He's gone England.
Not the UK.
Oh, have we got England on here? Can we add it? Yeah, we can add it. England. Okay, we have England. That's safe. John?
I've gone Portugal, but I'm not confident.
He's gone Portugal, but he's not confident. Ellis nicks the point.
I had Spain, but I crossed it out.
England has 55.98
I think
million.
Spain would be quite a good shot, actually.
Spain would have nicked it, John.
Yeah, I considered Spain.
Neither of them were in the bullseye zone. I mean, what did you say, John?
Portugal.
Portugal's much far down.
Small.
That's 10.2. England's 55.98. California is 38.9 million.
Oh, I thought it was closer to 50, actually. No. But never mind. All right.
But you got the point, which makes it 3-2, so you could draw here.
What an exciting game.
It's tense. Do you know what? It's kind of back to some of the more traditional made-up games we used to play a lot, around borders, around
guesstimations.
Populations.
Guesstimations. Yep.
Well done, Jen. What an exciting game.
Into
trembling,
round five.
It doesn't matter.
We've just been talking about Vegas, so let's hop-foot it across to Nevada.
Ah!
Just a couple of hours on a plane. From California, I believe. Nevada. Interesting one, isn't it, Nevada? Because just who knows how far it sprawls from...
Yeah.
From the Vegas Strip. John, we will come to you first.
I've gone for Netherlands, Dave.
He's gone for the Netherlands.
Estonia.
Wow.
Ellis has gone for Estonia.
The Netherlands is quite big.
Estonia gets it! Which makes it 1.3 mil in Estonia. I mean, the Netherlands is 7.6 million. Nevada only has a population of 3.1 million.
There's loads of deserts in
It's a lot
Nevada.
Of deserts.
There's also Las Vegas.
Yeah, but Las Vegas is smaller than you think.
No one really
no,
lives
I don't.
In the centre.
A lot of people live in Las
yeah,
Vegas.
In the outskirts of Las Vegas, but I don't think it's huge. 3.1 mil, which takes us to a tie break.
Oh, God.
What is the population of... Jen's very own Ohio. This is, I mean, Elle, this is to make it 30 all. Actually, Ellis, this is to...
Oh, okay, I've got one. Yep.
This is to make it 30 all, and you need this. Ellis, we'll come to you first.
Croatia.
What? What's the population of Ohio? No,
what?
No, this is just the tie break now.
Oh, oh God,
well, have you done a population?
Or
have
yeah,
you?
All
right,
okay.
5.5 million.
Five and a half mil.
I've gone 8.4.
It's gone 8.4. It is 11.785.
Oh, hey, it was massive.
It's massive, it is.
It's got some big cities, isn't it, hasn't it, Ohio?
Yeah, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I imagine.
Massachusetts is a state.
Oh, in my head, I always go Massachusetts, Ohio.
Are you doing the states in alphabetical order? even then, you've missed out on Nevada and Nebraska. Yeah. And North Carolina. Oh, yeah,
Great.
Oh, Ohio is much bigger than I'd realised. Wow. Okay.
Good stuff.
Google Ohio. What are the big cities in Ohio, Dave?
Ohio cities. You got Columbus. You got Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland.
Cincinnati. Toledo.
Ohio. Yeah, there's some big cities there.
Akron.
Yeah.
Which is where the first AA meeting was held.
Is it really?
I think so.
That's nice.
Oh, Ohio's bigger than I thought. Okay. Well, good game.
Good
tense
game.
Congratulations to John for being a worthy winner there. God, I'm tense. Turn off the music. I feel sick.
It wasn't technically an Akron.
Oh, was it not?
No.
I'll have to deduct a point then for that, John.
Well, I win! But well, I don't win the set, do I? The game, even.
It's 40-15 at this 40-15. Stage, 40-15.
Very good.
Okay. A few more hot chats. This is from Moll. Watch the video. Surely no one really wants to read Mansfield Park.
And this is for Shortcuts to Success.
Shortcuts to Success. And this is from Robin. We discussed this many times at university as a friend had gone to a very expensive and exclusive boarding school. I checked the prices online and her school cost around £50,000 per year, meaning that her parents had spent the best part of £500,000 on a private school education, only for it to end up with a highly respectable 2-1 from the University of Leeds, along with the rest of us. So my shortcut was my free education at a bog-standard comprehensive school.
Very good.
Good stuff.
This is from Lindsay. Food tech at school and a whole half term of having to make soup every week in the practical lessons. Even as a teenager, I'd cracked soup after 2 weeks, so just took in a tin of Heinz chicken soup, lobbed it in the pan, and relaxed for a couple of hours. I looked at it now and then, gave the occasional stir. End result was high praise from the teacher and 10 out of 10 mark.
No
job
way.
Done. Surely you can taste chicken soup.
Surely you're spotting a Heinz a million miles away.
Oh, this is from Callum. In my first year of English Lit at uni, there was a workshop on close reading from random excerpts of novels. It was too effective. Cut to 4 years later and I graduate with a 2-1 while working 2 part-time jobs, having never finished a course text since. Not by design, but I did get very good at it. Well done, nice. Callum. Right, I think it's time to put something in the Petty Parliament.
Order! Order!
Eyes to the right, nose to the left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I find the Right Honourable Gentleman annoying.
Ellis and John's Petty Parliament.
I sentence you to 10 years.
It's not a court.
On BBC Five Live.
Just to clear something up, the first AA meeting was in Akron. Okay.
Well done.
Oh, a roller coaster. Good.
Well done, everyone.
Right.
Well done.
In a bid to make the world a slightly better place, we decide to put things that are bothering you, into the Petty Parliament. And both John, Dave and I decide whether it should be turned into legislation or not. So this is from Vanessa. Skipping intro music on TV shows. Hello, Ellis, John and producer Dave. My submission to the Petty Parliament is people who skip the intro music to TV shows. Being 40 years young, I remember when skip credits wasn't even a glint in the parents of streaming services' eyes. Back in the day, skipping past the opening music of a Game of Thrones episode, DuckTales, Friends, or the ting sound at the end of the Dexter opening credits is Petty Parliament worthy. Not listening to the above would diminish the overall experience of watching each show. My punishment for someone having remote duty and skipping past the opening music of a TV show that their partner slash fellow viewer wants to hear is that every song they listen to for the next week cuts off halfway through. Keep up the excellent work, boys. Your pod is top tier. Love that turn of phrase. And incidentally, has fantastic opening music, which enhances the overall listening experience. Vanessa from Swansea. My kids do this, and it blows my mind. And I like the opening music. The opening credit music to lots of things. Like, the music to Succession really did add to the experience.
That was going to be my example.
I love the music to Bluey, and yet my kids will always skip that. Come on. It's a bit like now you get adverts during the closing titles. I mean, this has been around for years and years, but I remember Charlie Brooker pointed out, if you have worked on the show, it means that no one gets to see your name. And it's a little bit unfair on the crew who've worked really, really hard.
Also, for example, if you have one taskmaster, your final scene where you get to hold up the trophy gets minimised to show you what's coming up next. Yeah. And you think, come on. When...
Yes,
I've been on national television for 10 weeks, but let me have my moment.
Yeah, you do that to the Champions League, too, as they're lifting the trophy.
No.
And what is Taskmaster if not the Champions League of UK comedy? I'm going to propose a separate view on this issue, because obviously when Vanessa is talking about the good old days of not being able to skip stuff. Back then, you weren't offered the opportunity of watching 10 episodes in a row because you had to wait a week for the next one to come out. So if I'm watching Game of Thrones, which I might do, I'm watching 10 episodes a day, which I might do.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to, that's 30 minutes of intro music. Like if I'm listening to a podcast that shall remain nameless, and its amount of adverts is pushing the 3.5 minute mark at the start.
I know which podcast you mean, yeah.
I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to skip them.
No, but the adverts don't add to the experience. I think the music does add to the experience.
Well, they're a mixture of pre-recorded live reads and ones made by advertising agencies. You want to keep up with the ad scene, don't you?
No. I'm talking about the opening title music.
Yeah,
but I've heard it once. I don't want to hear it 10 times a day.
I love it.
Immediately after ending an episode of Games of Thrones, of Thrones, you're going to go, I'm going to hear that 3-minute intro
again.
It's
like Match of the Day. When I hear the music to opening credits to Match of the Day, I get excited. And occasionally they fiddle with the music a little bit. I like to notice these things. And then when I've noticed it, I remember it.
But you're rarely.
I don't believe you. I think you're lying.
No.
You're a liar.
The podcast, absolutely. I skip through adverts.
You wouldn't watch the intro to Game of Thrones 10 times in a day.
Yeah. You're watching Game of Thrones.
I watched the first series and I turned it off when the dragons arrived because I thought it was a bit far-fetched.
I mean, I've never watched 10 episodes of anything in my life.
That's not true.
In a day?
Maybe that's true.
I've never watched 10
Premier
episodes.
Premier League of... years?
No, I'd love to give it a go. I reckon I've probably done, they're only half hours. I reckon I've done 3, but never 10. It is nice. It's that combination of news, music from the time and goals. It's a good show.
Dave, you'd skip the intro, surely, when you and Hannah are binging the bear.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's a case by case. So the example you spotted up from the off, Ellis, I never skipped Succession's theme tune.
The music is great.
But Hannah and I sang along to the melody of that. We loved
it
so
much.
Remember
when they got, I think Sky got... They got an orchestra or certainly a string quartet to play the opening music outside Broadcasting House.
Did they?
I think it might be during a scandal. It's quite a funny thing to do, though.
But also, the imagery of that opening scene, because also take into account, what are you watching? What have they made interesting from the opening credits? It's not all about the music. It's about what you're watching now. The opening, like the way that the dad grew up and the kids, or were they his kids around him? He walks off from them at the end as if neglecting them.
Yeah, but I know that. I don't need to be told it again and again and again.
It's very compelling that
I'm a skipper.
I don't mind skipping if it's rubbish. Yeah, if it's a rubbish theme, I'm skipping.
Not everything has to move on.
I'm a skipper. Ideally, play it at 1.5 times speed.
Oh, that's even worse.
What, for a podcast?
Skip it.
Anything, really. Get it done. Get it done. Rick Shields trying to break 75 in 1.75 hours. Twice speed. Come on, Rick. Skip to the end. He didn't do it next.
Yeah, so you are what's wrong with society.
I'm not. I'm what's right with efficiency.
Everything now.
Yeah. Everything.
Good band.
They're a band.
We used to play them twice an hour on Radio X.
Yeah.
And Everything Now was an Arcade Fire album or song. Anyway.
No. Just you late... God, you lie back, you enjoy it.
Yeah. I think it depends if it's any good. I'll happily, because you're right, John, you make a good point around the binge experience. That's what's changed since the good old days, is that you're not watching it. Even if you just get into episode 2 and you're going to go again, you're probably going to skip.
So, yes, I have to say I'm a skipper, I'm a binger, I'm a get it done. What's the quickest I can sort of justifiably get into bed? It's half eight.
Yeah.
So get it done.
Get it done.
So I'm sorry, Vanessa. People have got to be allowed to skip.
Get it done.
The nose have it.
Hang on.
Well, I did side with John, to be fair.
So fine.
Fine.
Let's run away.
The nose have it.
The nose have it. The nose have it.
Good stuff.
Great.
Yes. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We will be back with you on Friday. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening. By the way, there's a brand new episode of the show arriving this afternoon. So if you've enjoyed the show, then head to Ellis James and John Robbins on BBC Sounds.
Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Afternoon, Matt Chorley with you on a Friday afternoon. Coming up on the show today, the politics of Strictly, the politics of queuing and the politics of Joe Lycett. But first, the latest news with Laura Harms.
Two boys have been sentenced to life with a minimum of 8.5 years for murdering a man when they were just 12. 19-year-old Sean Cesarhigh was attacked in a park in Wolverhampton last year. His killers are the UK's youngest knife murderers. Our correspondent Navtej Johal has been in court for their sentencing.
One of them was known to Children's Services. He'd been, the court heard, exploited by older boys, and he had been encouraged to continue with his interest and possession of knives. The second child had never been in trouble with the police before and was not known to Children's Services. These two boys did not know Sean Cesarhigh. The incident appeared to be over a trivial matter, a shoulder brushing deliberately initiated by one of the boys.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is due to address the UN General Assembly in New York in the next hour. The Israeli military is continuing its offensive against Hezbollah, despite international calls for an immediate ceasefire. The BBC has learned that the General Medical Council refused in 2017 to investigate alleged medical malpractice at Harrods, saying too much time had passed. A complaint was made by a woman who had an intimate examination while applying for a job at the store in 2008, when it was owned by the late Mohammed Al-Fayed. He's been accused of multiple rapes and sexual assaults. A major review of the way that police forces deal with reports of stalking has called for significant changes to better protect victims. The report, put together by policing watchdogs, has highlighted safeguarding failures. Clive Ruggles' daughter Alice was killed by her ex-boyfriend in 2016. He says police don't take her concerns seriously enough.
When she went back to the police because he'd gone back to see her, she'd been told he'd be arrested if that happened. And it didn't happen. She was given the impression she was wasting their time. And sadly, that was just 3 or 4 days before he drove down and broke into her flat and killed her.
Two Just Stop Oil activists have been jailed for pouring soup over Vincent van Gogh's sunflower.